Plato and Aristotle, Lecture 14. Plato and Aristotle, a final review and summation.
In this final lecture, we're going to review some of the things that we've discussed in talking together about Plato and Aristotle, thinking back on the salient features of our discussions, asking how we might think of these two philosophers in comparison to one another as well. I'm going to begin by inviting us to think again about several specific themes that we've touched on in thinking about the Greek philosophers. First, the theme of virtue, then secondly, that of being, and then finally, about the notion of soul. You'll remember that in the previous two lectures, we discussed the question of virtue and of virtue's shortcomings. I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Throughout our discussions, I've asked us to note that for both Plato and Aristotle, the notion of a virtue is of critical importance in the formation and working out of our moral lives and in the understanding of what it is to lead a moral life. And then in the last lecture, I asked you to think of Aristotle's treatment of the institutions of tragic poetry against the background of those notions of virtue, specifically in relation to our recognition of the fact that virtue sometimes fails us, that it cannot always guarantee us the happiness that is, nonetheless, proper reward. So let's start in summarizing Plato and Aristotle. Let's start by thinking a little more back on the notion of virtue. Well, let's first recall that a virtue, for Plato and Aristotle, is a state of character. It's not, in other words, in their vocabulary, the word simply for a general moral goodness, but for specific states of moral character, or specific qualities or characteristics of an individual's character. We saw, first implicitly in Plato and then explicitly in Aristotle, the fact, furthermore, that these states of characters are the kinds of qualities that we think of as dispositions, that is, as characters whose logic is like that of fragile or capable of something. In fact, what we saw explicitly in Plato and Aristotle is that a virtue really is a kind of capacity. It's the capacity that individuals have, or moral individuals have, for behaving properly. To have a virtue, then, is to be, in a sense, skilled. That is, to be capable of doing something, in analogy with the way in which a skilled craftsman is capable of building, for example, a boat. So a person with a moral virtue is capable of, or has the skill of, behaving morally in the proper way. Well, with that in mind, let me remind you that I've several times stressed the fact that the moral philosophy of both Plato and Aristotle is marked by the centrality in their thinking of this notion of virtue. I described this fact, you'll recall, by inviting us to realize that according to Plato and Aristotle alike, the central question of moral philosophy is not simply the question, how am I to conduct myself in my life? But rather the question, how am I to become a good person? That is to say, how am I to become the kind of person who is readily disposed so to conduct myself? The kind of person, in other words, for whom the proper kind of conduct or proper behavior emanates from good character, from good states of character understood as good qualities, that is, as virtues. Of course, the good life is, for both thinkers, a life of activity. That is, a life in which those states of characters, virtues that are essentially dispositions or skills to act in the right way, are actualized, exercised, and not simply possessed. Otherwise, that is, if it were not the case that these states of character are actualized, a desirable life might be one that would be spent asleep. And neither Plato nor Aristotle want us to think that way. So it's important that we understand that the states of character, these virtues, have to be actualized. But still, a good life is a life in which actions are not simply in accord with virtue, but are the realizations, that is, the actualizations or exercises of those virtues. And the virtues themselves are simply dispositions, as I've said, capacities for certain kinds of action. A good person, in other words, is not simply someone who behaves in a certain way. A good person is someone who behaves that way out of good character.